My guest today has been called many things by the press, the reigning queen of avant-garde cello, a rock star, a force of nature, and perhaps my favorite, a cello goddess. And throughout her career, Maya Beiser has continually pushed the boundaries of classical music as a cellist, producer, performing artist, and much, much more. So she's on the cusp right now of releasing her very first recording of the Bach Cello Suites, but there is a twist, no surprise there. She's joined us today by phone to talk about it. Maya Beiser, welcome to FM 91.
Thank you, Brad. I'm blushing from all these descriptions.
Yeah, well, we can talk more about that a little bit later in the program, but I want to get to your new album, which is called Infinite Bach. Now, you know, there are dozens and dozens of recordings of these Bach cello suites by different cellists. It's sort of the Mount Rushmore, you know, for cellists who are recording artists. But you've put a twist on this, a different way of listening and interacting with the music of Bach. I wonder if you can give an overview of the project for our listeners.
Yes, absolutely. So, I was not sure I ever wanted to record the Bach cello suites because my relationship with that music goes back to really my very early experience of music. I heard it first before I could play the cello, but then when I started to play the cello at the age of six, that was really, you know, the core repertoire that I worked on and performed as a child. But as I know you know, and maybe some of your listeners who are familiar with my work know, I sort of, took a turn and decided that I wanted to explore a different kind of way to work with my cello and to really expand the repertoire and find different kind of sound. And one of the most important things for me was to really find a way that is takes me out of the kind of rule-oriented environment that I felt was, you know, we have in the classical music world, which is, you know, not surprising because obviously we're all covering the music of the past, right? I mean, so and there's so many opinions, and as I'm sure you know, with the Bach cello suites, every cellist has an opinion on that. But so I kept saying, you know, throughout the decades, I said, well, when I'm 40, I'll do it. When I'm 50, I'll do it. And this year, I'm turned 60, and you know, I thought maybe this is the time, but really the catalyst was during the pandemic. My partner and I bought a farmhouse in the Berkshires in Massachusetts. And the first day that I moved into the house, it has this incredible property, but it has this converted barn in the middle of the woods. And I just took my cello and started to play the Bach suites there, and I thought this might be the place to record it. And you know, throughout the years, what became clear to me about Bach is that the genius of what he created opens the door to endless interpretations. And so there is no right way to perform and experience this music. But what I wanted to do was to really try to create a different kind of experience with this music. And so I brought my sound engineer to this barn, and we started to explore the space, and I wanted to see, is it possible for me to, you know, how can we make the space sort of inform this this project? And I just made a decision that I'm going to spend a year experimenting with this music without an kind of clear end, you know, just sort of an open end situation, and just allow myself to be immersed with this music and see where it's going to take me. So this recording is the result of that. And, you know, we actually started with this idea that we would just play each piece. There are 36 pieces. You know, it's six suites, and each one has 36 dances, so to speak. And I just wanted to play them 100 different times and record them in 100 different ways and kind of see where that's going to lead. And so that's sort of where we started. And, of course, you know, the album is just one version. But as you alluded to, it's not a traditional recording of the suites. By no means. It's a spatial recording. It has... we recorded everything in multi-channels of a lot of different microphones that were around the space in a sort of a spatial way, some microphones behind me, some all the way above, some way below. And it created this kind of magical atmosphere, you know. And then I went in and started to analyze all the multi-channel recordings of just this one line. And started to hear, you know, bring out all these different drones and different harmonics and different things that just sort of naturally occurred during the process. And so that's what this recording ended up being. And that's why Infinite Bach really comes from this idea that, you know, this music is just, I don't know, to me, I always think about it as sort of floating up in some cloud up there, and you know, we're tapping into it. But I think all great music is like that. You know, it's just this incredible expression of energy and humanity. And so that's what it's about.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that really strikes me is that you elevate the venue, like the space that you're in. And that's done partly by you, but partly by your sound engineer as well. So many of the instrumentalists that I've talked to in the past when they've released new recordings, they don't really emphasize the space or the area where they made the recording. But for you, that's kind of flipped on its head. And that, I assume, affects how you perform the particular piece.
Yes. Very much so. And, you know, I don't know, Brad, if you're familiar with Alvin Lucier's, there's a seminal piece that he, a 1969 piece, it's called I'm Sitting in a Room.
Right.
And in that piece, he, you know, he sits in the room and he starts talking. He had a stutter, and he just basically saying, I'm sitting in a room and you're going to hear my voice speaking, and slowly it's going to erode. And what he did was he just kept playing back the same recording of himself speaking into the room, and then slowly until it just becomes this sort of, you know, over harmonics and stuff, and you can't hear anymore the words. And it's an incredible recording that influenced a lot of the work that I've done in terms of recording. But I've always been interested in this idea of the experience of recording, and how do I bring people in? How do I take it out of the sterile kind of environment? I never wanted my recordings to sound, you know, sort of just clean and perfect, because I really strongly believe that, you know, that the experience of music and the experience of our humanity is about the imperfection of you know, of life, and there is, and the messiness of it, and all of that is sort of, and so I've always, you know, I've been interested, and I've actually done a lot of experiments with my previous recordings. I did a recording, an album a few years ago called Delusion, which was also sort of, you know, reinterpretation of some classical music. In that case, it was more my own arrangements of music that was not written for the cello, but I brought in just environmental sounds that felt relevant. And, you know, in this particular case, what I especially loved about this space is that it was not, you know, wasn't hermetically acoustic. You know, you could hear the outside. So there, actually moments where we can hear rain even in this recording. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's very faint, you know, and you might not even know it, but we were, there's this one day we were recording, and it was a really powerful rainstorm, and I was recording the D minor Sarabande, actually, which is one of my favorite, and I said to Dave, my sound engineer, I said, why don't we just go outside and start recording the rain as well, and somehow incorporate it into the sound, because it just felt so great and relevant. And so there were all these serendipitous experiences that happened as we were recording, and because I gave myself, which is not the kind of thing you usually do, but I allowed this time to really deconstruct things and reconstruct things and just look at stuff and experiment, you know, which we just, unfortunately, you know, we tend to, we meaning artists such as myself, we tend to be under so much pressure, you know, to do things. And usually, you know, especially in the classical music world, you know, you go to play with an orchestra, you have a day to rehearse, and then you do a concert, you know. And I just, one thing that I always loved about, you know, the great recordings of, let's say, the Beatles or some of the, you know, great non-classical artists that I admire, was that they really took the time, you know, to sit in the studio and to just create. And so that's what I wanted to do here, and I just wanted to really you know, not do a traditional recording of a Bach suite, but without actually changing the notes, which I didn't, you know, every note there is Bach's notes, you know, so I didn't want to recompose it in that sense, but I wanted to reconceive the experience and to find a way to bring people into the space and into how I hear it in my head, you know. But just one more thing that I want to say, which I think is so important, is that our experience of music is wholly subjective, you know. And so I don't think we can really ever tell whether we hear or feel music the same way, you know, and it may be that we really don't. We, each one of us experiences it in a different way, and how we react to a certain chord progression or how we, you know, react to a melodic material or to a rhythmical pattern, you know, how we viscerally experience this. And music is obviously the most abstract form of art, but I think we each bring into that our own unique experience, and it's a reflection of our own, you know, singular processing of our world, our memories, right, our fears, our history. All those things come into play, and so I wanted to create something that was really super personal, but I also believe that the most personal is also the most universal. And so music, in a way, just is there. It exists there for each one of us to tap into it. And so I hope that people can listen to this music, and it would bring them somehow, this album and the fact that it's so immersive in terms of the, you know, the spatial sound and all of that, I hope that it would just take them through their own personal journey with this music.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you've posed a lot of answers to a lot of questions that are raised by the recording, which I guess, you know, it's kind of like an onion being peeled away. It relates to the title of Infinite Bach. Before I let you go, I just want to ask you about some of your social media music videos, because those are great, by the way. They're little preludes from various suites. And there's one where you're playing a cello and water pours over your head and over the cello. Now, that was that a real cello or not?
So that was $150 cello from Walmart.
I didn't know that Walmart sold cellos. That's interesting.
I know. Well, you know, a few years ago, I did a video where I wanted to put a cello in the ocean. And actually, people can. I did. This was the Smithsonian piece that I did from the quartet for the End of the Time. And so, at that time, we were starting to look. You know, my producer and I were looking for a cello that we could do that with. Because obviously, I would not subject my 17th century Italian instrument to any water whatsoever. So I learned that, yes, indeed, there are those cellos that you can buy for, you know, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily recommend, you know, playing on them seriously. But, you know, it was a fun experience, actually, because, first of all, generally speaking, I just love to try to make anything that sounds good, even if it's a $150, you know, plywood factory cello. So I thought, oh, you know, it'd be interesting. And it was actually kind of funny because it arrived and it came with the bow and with, you know, the entire thing. I felt that I could do this, but you know, this was actually something I've been dreaming of doing for a long time, and there's something about the idea of just breaking away from the kind of preciousness of the classical recording, that it's something I've always wanted to do, because to break it out and to make something that is not predictable, I think is really, really helps. And you know, obviously putting water on a cello is taboo, and so I thought it just but beyond that, I also, it's just, you know, water is an essential source of life, and you know, the tree that the cello is made from couldn't survive without water, right? And so I just thought it would just be a really, really wonderful image, and it was also a really great experience to record it this way. You know, my co-director and producer, she created this whole kind of contraption where there was a pool underneath the platform I was sitting on, and the water was pumped up to go all the way above me so that it could just pour as on me as I was playing. And it was pretty crazy. I mean, I wore this, beautiful Rick Owens gown, and which I knew would look really great once it's all wet. but we did it in one shot, because obviously once you do it, you can't really do it again. And the cello was, you know, wasn't taking it very well, but it was fun. I'd love that video. But there are six, I'm releasing them slowly one at a time, but there are six videos, each of all the six preludes, and each one is kind of very different from the other, and it's in a different environment. Some were filmed in that space where I recorded in that house in the Berkshires. Some were outside, in the forest. And so so it's kind of an experience. So I think there's three that's been released, but there's three more that to come, that's if people want to kind of follow that along.
Yeah, it's infinitely interesting. Do you still have that? You still have that Walmart cello?
You know, I do. I'm keeping it for history's sake.
Yeah, right.
It's still there. It's not. it did dry since, but the water was not a great thing for it. But
okay, well, you could do a whole video series, different ways to stress the cello.
Yes, totally.
Excellent. Yeah. Well, the album is coming out May 26th. It's called Infinite Bach, cellist Maya Beiser. Thank you so much for talking with us about this really, really interesting recording today on FM 91.
Thank you so much, Brad. It's great talking to you.